Well, I'm very pleased to be joined once again today by Brian Hughes, consultant, solicitor of Shenfield-based Rayner Hughes. And today we're going to be talking about struggling with debt and the ultimate disaster of being declared a bankrupt. Now, Brian, I've got to ask you, is bankruptcy actually so bad? Because we keep hearing about people who seem to have been declared bankrupt and yet then carry on with life much as before.
So, well, good
tell us more.
Okay, well, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Yeah, the answer to it is anyone who deals with a bankrupt does so at their own risk, because a trustee in bankruptcy can avoid any transaction entered into by a bankrupt person. If people are daft enough to enter into a business arrangement with a bankrupt, they not only risk losing a lot of money, but also being complicit in fraud, which is a criminal offence. Mm. Most bankrupts hide behind people who can lawfully enter into contracts and business arrangements, effectively on their behalf. Bankrupts cannot be directors of companies, nor can they enter into any legally binding arrangements. I'll mention this in my talk. If they carry on life much as they did before, they're relying on the legal status of family and associates who are not bankrupt.
All right. So to start with, what happens if you are declared bankrupt?
If things get that far, a court will make an order transferring virtually everything you own to a trustee in bankruptcy. The trustee, who can either be the official receiver, a licensed insolvency practitioner, or a trustee appointed by the creditors, sells everything that's transferred and divides out the proceeds of sale among the people or companies to whom the money is owed, usually after taking a fat fee, I have to add.
Yeah. There's a surprise.
Yeah. And everything you own also includes pretty well everything you earn as well. However, unlike in olden days where a debtor would remain bankrupt in perpetuity, the period of bankruptcy nowadays can be as short as 12 months, unless an element of fraud is involved.
Okay, but as with most things that we've talked about in the past, prevention must surely be better than cure.
Absolutely. First off, if you receive a letter or an invoice which contains a completely unjustified claim against you, never, and I repeat, never, ignore it and throw it in the bin. If you take no action and litigation subsequently follows, you're almost certain to regret not repudiating the claim or debt or trying to settle it if it's justified when you first received the demand for payment. And if you've received an unjustified demand for payment and you're in any doubt about the correct reply you should give, always seek early advice. By doing so, you'll almost certainly save yourself a lot of money or at a later date, possibly running yourself into further debt that might, ironically, make bankruptcy inevitable. And just because you may not have the means to settle a valid claim, don't ignore it. Arrange to meet your creditor or creditors and explain your financial position frankly. There are not many cases where a debtor will suffer as a result of doing so, because a creditor rarely wishes to make an honest debtor bankrupt. You're far more likely to be able to negotiate a satisfactory settlement if you pursue a policy of frankness than if you decide on a policy of prevarication or silence in explaining your financial situation. Coming to a settlement with your creditor or creditors is far more satisfactory than receiving a petition for bankruptcy. One of the ways out of this mess, of course, is to look at the possibility of what they call an IVA.
So just what is an IVA?
Well, an IVA is an individual voluntary arrangement and is a useful way of not having to hand over everything you own and most of what you earn to a trustee in bankruptcy, and will ultimately save you a lot of money. However, an IVA can only be agreed if all your creditors agree.
Okay, so let's go back to bankruptcy proper. How does this actually come about?
Well, first off, it's important to note the difference between bankruptcy and insolvency. Bankruptcy applies to individuals and partnerships, whereas insolvency is defined in the 1986 Act as relating to companies that go into administration or liquidation. Now, there are two sorts of ways in which a creditor can enforce a debt. The first and most obvious way is suing for the debt or payment in the county court or the high court. This usually involves a long, tortuous and expensive process where lawyers take lots of fees, as you'd expect, and one side is right and the other wrong. either the plaintiff or the defendant has a good case, and the loser has to cough up the amount due and the other side's legal fees. Now, there's nothing to stop any creditor going through this process, and most creditors do. But if a creditor if a debtor owes a creditor more than £5,000, the creditor can issue what is called a statutory demand. And this statutory demand can lead straight to the bankruptcy petition and the bankruptcy order.
So what does this statutory demand actually do?
Well, once served, the debtor has 21 days to either pay the debt or be faced with a bankruptcy petition. This is serious stuff. And I have to make the point here and now that courts are not keen on creditors serving demands for modest debt unless it can be shown that there's an element of fraud involved. Say, for example, the debtor owes more than £5,000 on the purchase of a car. The courts don't like being used as a debt collection agency for this type of debt, and they will steer the creditor into the county court system. Better to have a CCJ, a county court judgment, registered against the debtor in the county court register of debtors, which prevents him or her from getting any further credit, including, of course, a mortgage or any other type of finance, than forcing them into a position where they lose the ability to earn and repay. In a roundabout way, I'm saying that courts are more inclined to make an order for bankruptcy where the assets of a person are likely to be sufficient to pay the fees of the trustee in bankruptcy, never forget the fees in the trustee, and to give a dividend to creditors, but where the future earnings prospects of a debtor are not bright. In effect, the debtor has two choices: pay if the debt is valid, or dispute it if it's not. If the person who receives the statutory demand thinks it's wrong, he or she can apply to the court within those 21 days, and that's the time limit, to have the demand set aside. There may be good reasons for this, like the debtor can make a counterclaim for as much or more than the sum demanded, or the sum relates to the payment for defective goods, which the debtor can show are defective, and in respect of which it can be argued that no payment is due.
And if there is no counterclaim?
Ah, well, that's where we hit the buffers, isn't it? In that case, the creditor issues an application for a bankruptcy order. This is called a bankruptcy petition. I have to emphasise that an individual can only be made bankrupt after the petition has been heard and the bankruptcy order has been made. It's rare for an individual to petition for their own bankruptcy, but it does happen. At the hearing of the petition, the court has a number of choices. The court may dismiss the petition on the ground that the debtor has good grounds for making a counterclaim, or it may adjourn the adjudication of the petition in order to give the debtor time to pay. If, of course, the debtor has absconded or placed himself or herself beyond the reach of his or her creditors with intent to defeat or delay their claims for payment, a bankruptcy order would follow automatically. If, for example, the debtor decided to set up residence in Spain, as many have done over the last few years.
Hey, we mentioned that at the beginning. What happens when once a bankruptcy order has been made?
A couple of important points to notice here. Firstly, bankruptcy generally dates back to the Act of Bankruptcy on which it's founded. Anyone who has received money or gifts in value from the bankrupt with knowledge of the fact may be forced to repay the money or hand the item over to the trustee. A creditor is never safe in accepting a payment from a debtor where bankruptcy proceedings are pending unless the money has been provided by a third party. Even a wife might, for example, have to hand over an expensive diamond ring or pearl necklace to a trustee if she received it while her husband's bankruptcy was pending. However, if a man marries and gives his wife a half share in the matrimonial home and then goes bankrupt, a trustee in bankruptcy cannot lay his hands on the wife's half share because the act of marriage is good consideration in law for the gift. So there you go. And also, a wife is not prevented from claiming that the household effects within a matrimonial home are her property in the event of the bankruptcy of her husband. In the case of gifts of property, a purchaser of that property will demand a statutory declaration from the person selling the property that the person who gifted the property to the seller was not known to be bankrupt or had been bankrupt within the previous 3 years.
Now, you said at the beginning of our chat today that the trustee in bankruptcy takes full control of all the assets of the bankrupt individual. So what actually happens to those assets?
Well, the trustee sells them in order to give the creditors a dividend, which can be anything from full repayment to 5p in the pound. The only things the trustee cannot take are the tools of trade of the debtor, his or her clothes, and believe it or not, his or her bedding. Some of the debts of the bankrupt take priority over others. These are called preferential debts and comprise income tax, NIC contributions, and the wages and salaries due to employees of the bankrupt if he or she has them. As previously stated, a bankrupt person cannot obtain any form of credit during bankruptcy, nor can a bankrupt be a director or secretary of a company or practice as a professional. As I've also mentioned, any bankrupt has to account to his or her trustee for his or her earnings during the bankruptcy period. In accounting to the trustee, no man can, however, absolve himself during bankruptcy of his obligation to support his wife and children. So, clearly, bankruptcy is not a good place to be in.
It's certainly not.
No, and the advice, as always, is to nip the issue in the bud before things get out of hand.
All right, thanks very much again, Brian. Instructive as always. And have you decided on your next topic?
I thought the next topic should be insolvency.
Right,
because
that makes sense.
Lots of people are directors of companies which go to the wall. And that seems to be a logical follow-on from bankruptcy of individuals.
Fair enough. We look forward to that. Thank you very much, Brian.
Great pleasure.
Thank you.